up, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast. I'm your host, Will Brinson. We got some picks coming. RJ White and Pete Briscoe will join me to break down every single game against the spread and make our Super Contest picks. Very excited. We have a totally different format that you will like. RJ created it. It's very smart and nerdy. It involves math, not my forte. But first, to break down what was not a very close game on Thursday night between the Denver Broncos and the Arizona Cardinals, his triumphant return to the podcast, Bryant McFadden. What's up?
Will, thank you for having me once again. It's been too long.
It has been too long. You changed your shifts around on CBS Sports HQ, and you can watch Bryant all weekend long throughout the week on CBS Sports HQ at cbssports.com/live, excuse me. But now we're going to be doing these Thursday night things. I'm excited because I had people banging, like hit me up, being like, where's McFadden? What happened? Is he coming back on the pod? I was like, we will get him back. Unfortunately, not the greatest game to get it back. So I'll ask you this. If you were Michael Bidwell, the president of the Cardinals, or Steve Kine, the GM of the Cardinals, are you telling Steve Wilks that he's got to fire somebody tomorrow?
I think so. Unfortunately, you know, that's the dark side of the business. When a team is not, when they're not reaching expectations or coming close to reaching expectations, you have to make some changes to really spark the entire organization. And offensively, they have issues. The same can be said on the defensive side. You have a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback that, you know, we know he has potential. We know he has talent, but he has a long way to go. But the coaching, the lack thereof, you know, David Johnson, 2 years ago in 2016, many felt like he was a top three running back. And, you know, he missed the majority of 2017. And right now he does not look like the guy we saw in 2016. So it's about coaching, finding a way to get the best out of your players, your experienced players, guys that have really done a tremendous job so far in their professional career. And I think that can help take pressure off of Josh Rosen's plate. And defensively, I mean, they got issues on the defensive side. So me personally, you never want to see someone getting fired, especially during the season. But we know Wilks is not going anywhere, at least for this season. You know, I believe he will remain on the sideline for next season. I think he will get at least 2 years and really show his worth. But outside of the head coach being in place, I wouldn't be surprised to see them make some changes with this long weekend, basically playing what Thursday night, you know, you get a full weekend of rest.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, and this just occurred to me, but so the guy that's probably going to, I mean, look, let's be honest, Steve Wilks said in his post-game presser, he's like, too early to think about changes. But the reality is you're 100% right, BMAC, about David Johnson's struggles. He had 14 carries for 39 yards. He finished with 3 catches for 31 yards. I mean, Twitter was one big joke about why can't you get David Johnson the ball? They keep running left the middle. Mike McCoy, and by the way, the final score, 45-10, Denver Broncos over the Arizona Cardinals. Mike McCoy is the guy likely to lose his job if somebody does. The report from Jason LaCanfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider, is that one of your former teammates, Byron Leftwich, who you play with at the Steelers, right, would actually
be
quarterback's coach, and he would actually get be the next man up for this offensive coordinator position. Is he the type of guy who would be a natural coach in this spot?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a very, very instinctive guy. He's a hands-on type of coach. And being able to work with a young quarterback would be huge for his growth, and the same could be said for Josh Rosen. And I think Mike McCoy, you know, we've seen the best from him as far as his coaching career, as far as the coordinator. And I thought this was an opportunity for him to revamp his career once again, but clearly he's going in the wrong direction. It's been very, very difficult to watch. And also, too, you know, going back, on my studies and watching David Johnson, especially throughout that 2016 campaign, the offense was totally different for the most part. B.A. Bruce Arians was the head coach, also known as the play caller. But David Johnson made a lot of impactful plays, not in shotgun, but while the quarterback was under center. And when you look at the course of this season so far, I know it's a different offense for different quarterbacks, but the majority of their snaps in shotgun. And David Johnson is a one-cut runner. He loves to come downhill. Go back and look at 2016 reel of David Johnson. He made some plays out of shotgun, but the majority of the plays he made, especially carrying the football, the quarterback was under center. So I think Mike McCoy, he has to find a way to do, to implement things that David Johnson did well in 2016 and make that a part of the game plan. Because right now, David Johnson looks to be an average running back in this system so far in 2018. And we know he's not an average guy.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think the Cardinals have done a very poor job of that. I mean, look, the reality is when you're coaching in the NFL, you know, you get to kind of help pick what guys you're going to get. But when you're a new coach, you have personnel that's already there, and you need to fit your schemes around those guys, and you need to work with what you have. And it feels like they went out and got Sam Bradford, who needs to be in shotgun most of the time. Josh Rosen, a rookie quarterback out of UCLA system, who's pro ready thrower, but maybe you don't want him dropping back a ton out of a single back formation. And so it's a hard mix there with David Johnson. Defensively. Real red flag for the Cardinals too. Like Patrick Peterson went for a strip at one point instead of tackling Philip Lindsay. I don't want to call it a business decision, but he didn't look entirely invested in taking the guy down. And there was a busted play on a trick. Like Emmanuel Sanders threw a touchdown pass and then was wide open on a touchdown reception. I mean, I thought this Cardinals defense was good, and it looked like they just got exposed.
Yeah, they got exposed. You're seeing a lot of bad play from the fundamental standpoint, from the technique standpoint, and guys not just doing their job. And also, too, outside of the known from what we've seen tonight, from what we've seen Thursday night, and from what we've seen so far throughout the season, there's been a lot of miscues, communication issues. But outside of that, Will, this team lacks talent. I think we got to really look at this from all areas. They lack talent. We know they have the Patrick Petersons of the world. We know they have the Chandler Jones of the world. But outside of that, they don't have any known guys that can be consistent playmakers on the defensive side. Look at this lineup. Chandler Jones, Robert Nkendiche, he's been a guy that's been missing more than showing up. Deion Buchanan. Josh Bynes has probably been the most consistent linebacker, and he's the one that you would not expect to be the most consistent.
Yeah.
So they don't have talent on either side of the ball. Larry Fitzgerald is their best pass catcher. There's no one close to him, and we know he's a future Hall of Famer, but he's towards the end of his career more so than the beginning, and he has a there's a large gap of separation as far as the next best pass catcher. Christian Kirk probably would be the next best pass catcher. They don't have talent, and I think a lot of that has to do with when you look at the draft. If you're Arizona Cardinals fan, let's look at the first rounders. Let's go back to, 2011, right? Patrick Peterson was the first round in 2011, right?
Yep.
Since Patrick Peterson, there have been a big drop-off, and I'm not comparing the other first-round selections to Patrick Peterson because he's a rare talent. He's a rare talent. We know he's a special guy. He's one of the best in the business at what he does.
Michael Floyd. Yeah, Michael Floyd.
Jonathan
Cooper. Yep, go ahead. Yeah, you got it.
Deion Buchanan, who's been in trade conversations the last week or so. DJ Humphries, Robert Kendee, Hassan Reddick, and Josh Rosen. Now, we're still waiting on Josh Rosen, right? Well, it's safe to say, of course, DJ is no longer with the team. Jonathan Cooper is no longer with the team. Michael Floyd is supposed to be the heir apparent to Larry Fitzgerald being able to take the baton away from Larry Fitzgerald when he walks off. He's no longer in the team. They've missed on key acquisitions, key draft picks. They've missed on, and now we're starting to see the lack of success coming from the lack of selecting nice quality players.
Nah, I agree with you completely. That's not a good look. That's not good news for Steve Keim either, who's got the ownership certainly staring at him. On the other side of things, Denver dominated, 45 points, 2 defensive touchdowns. Von Miller came out this week and said, "We're going to kick their ass. You can write it down and put it out there." He wasn't lying. Find the lie, right? He wasn't lying. Denver's defense looked fantastic. They were all over Josh Rosen. Von Miller had a pair of sacks. Bradley Chubb had a pair of sacks. Shaq Barrett had a sack. If it was only 5, it felt like 45. Emmanuel Sanders, 102 yards on 6 catches and a touchdown. Cortland Sutton had a touchdown from Emmanuel Sanders. Philip Lindsay, 14 carries, 90 yards and a touchdown. Royce Freeman even punched one in. I mean, this gets the monkey off the back of Vance Joseph completely in terms of, you know, could he be on the hot seat in the middle of the season, right?
Yeah, I think he needed to win this game to remain the head coach for the Broncos, at least for the next month or so of the season. I felt like if he lost this ball game, it was a very, very bad team. At that time, it would be 2-5, including their playoff shot, hopes are down the drain. Not to mention just being relevant in their division would be going down the drain. So I think this was a much-needed win for Vance Joseph as the head coach, because it's a different opportunity for him compared to Wilkes on the opposite end with the Arizona Cardinals. Year one was a year ago. Now he's in year two. So now you have to find a way to show growth in the program. So he needed to win today, and boy, they got some style points also. I know there's no such thing as style points in the National Football League, but putting up 35 points and a half a play, only allowing 10, the sacks. And that's the thing about Vance Joseph. That was the issue with him, Will. He's a defensive-minded coach, and his defense has been lackluster, to say the least. But tonight, they played the type of football that we've grown accustomed to seeing from the Denver Broncos when they had Wade Phillips as the DC, and many felt like Vance Joseph would be able to do some of the same things as far as being successful and also sacking the quarterback. But this is a huge win for him, and he can sleep well on the plane ride home back to Denver.
Yeah, he can. Four of their next six are on the road. They get 10 days to prepare for the Chiefs, and they host the Texans, and they're at the Chargers, and then they host the Steelers. So they definitely needed this one. All right, we'll get you out of here on this. Did you know you had to do this podcast and talk about the game? Did you keep watching the game when LeBron James started wearing his Lakers jersey, or did you switch?
Hey, well, you know I'm a Lakers fan, right? You know I'm a Lakers fan, and I got love for the NFL. But I'm gonna keep it real. By the fourth quarter, I know this game was over with. I know we had to, you know, attack this podcast, so you know I was flipping in between both. In between, but of course, the Lakers went to rolling, especially that first quarter, man. It was highlight city for the most part. And I'm excited. It's the NBA is back. My Lakers are relevant once again.
Yes, they are. The Lakers are certainly relevant. And that's because they did the smart thing. They hired smart. They hired LeBron James, unlike the Arizona Cardinals, who hired Mike McCoy. So do you want to be the Lakers and get LeBron, or do you want to be the Cardinals and get Mike McCoy? Because if you want to be the Lakers and you want to be smart, you're going to go to ZipRecruiter.com/pick to hire the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get the qualified candidates fast. You're the Lakers. They're coming to you. You don't have to worry about it. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated the number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, you can try it for free. You can sit there and let the LeBrons come to you for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/pick. That's ZipRecruiter.com/pick. And speaking of picks, let's go make some with RJ White and Pete Prisco. Hey there, Pete and RJ. What's going on, guys? Hey there.
What's up?
How you doing? Feeling good?
Yeah. I had a good week last week.
You did?
I was 10-5 against the spread.
What did you do in the Super Contest?
Crappy. 2-2-1. I did like you the week before. I put the wrong ones in.
Well, at least you didn't go 1-4 in the Super Contest like I did last week. I lost the Packers, who were...
You know, me too.
I don't mind losing the Packers. I mean, they...
No, they deserve to lose. You didn't get a cover. There's no way you were getting a cover out of
that one. I mean, they were up 10 and looked like they were going to
win. They weren't covered.
No, it's fine. I'm not mad about that one. I am mad about... which one am I mad about, RJ?
Patriots?
I'm mad about Patriots.
Mad about the Patriots. I'm also very mad about, what's the other one I lost? Titans was a loser. That was an epic loser. Stupid loser. Should have backed.
You were mad about Tampa, right?
Tampa. I mean, come on. Dan Quinn kicking a 57-yard field goal. Just punt the ball. And DeSean Jackson, catch the ball and run to the end zone.
I was mad about the Patriots. That had no business being what it was.
Everybody hated the DeSean Jackson play. In the moment, I was like, look, that's how they drew it up. It was clearly a draw the whole way, and he was going to throw it over there.
The problem is
he got hit. He couldn't get it all the way over there.
No, he was supposed to throw it to Jackson.
And right. And he couldn't get it all the way over there. Because
he went too far, and it was like Dirk Cutter described it as like a QB draw with options.
Right.
But, like, you need to have a set out QB draw where he pitches to Humphreys and Humphreys pitches to Jackson.
No, he was throwing it back to Jackson.
Oh, he was? And then Jackson sprints in? Oh, okay. Well,
he got hit when he threw it.
And if you know what? If it works that way, he gets a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If Jackson catches it there, although I saw Rick Str-